بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. وبعد،
نعم. The Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى, he began the lecture with خطبة الحاجة. As we all know, inshallah ta'ala, the translation, the meaning of that khutbah, because we hear that every day in our talks and the mashayikh talk, inshallah ta'ala. So the Sheikh is going to continue with the topic that he chose for us, inshallah.
Naam.
فَإِنَّهُ مِمَّا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ نُذَكِّرَ بِهِ الْجَمِيعِ أَوَّلًا أَنَّهُ فِي حَالِ الْفِتَنْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ الصَّبْرِ وعليه اللجوء إلى الله عز وجل وأن يكثر من الدعاء أن يكشف الله الكربة عن الإسلام والمسلمين. نعم.
The Sheikh says from the thing that from the point that he wanted to share with us or to remind us today, as we go through the time of the fitna amongst and between and in the Muslims, as we know the fitna that's going on nowadays, he says at the time that people should have patience and try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to return to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, and at the same time to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make easy the situation on the Muslims.
Naam.
هذه الفتن يميز الله عز وجل بها المسلم الصابر صاحب السنة ومتبع الأثر من الذي في دينه غش رش وغبش وفي لزومه بالسنة خلط وتخليط. نعم.
The Sheikh says حفظه الله تعالى, in this time of the fitna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the person who is strong on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, the person who is following the author of the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. The time of the fitna, you will see who is really upon the sunnah of the Messenger, and you will see who is weak. Upon the sunnah, you will see the person who is cheating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is trying to cheat or try to act like he's a Muslim, but he wasn't. When the fitna comes down like this time, you will see a person who is truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who is not. The time of the fitna, you will see the one who is stronger on the religion of Islam, and the other one who is weak is not strong in the religion of Islam.
نعم.
المسلم في هذه الحالة في حالة الفتن ملازم لسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريص عليها, وكذلك أيضا موافق لأهل العلم الموثوقين المعتبرين الذين عرفوا بلزوم السنة ونصرتها والدفاع عنها والتدبي عنها, فلا يخرج عن قولهم ولا عن رأيهم ولا ينفرد بهواء أو تتزين له الفتن فيقدم عليها غير راسخ في العلم وغير ناظر لأهل العلم ومتحر لما يقولونه في هذا الأمر. نعم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى, he said the Muslim, the really Muslim, on the time of the fitna like this day that we live in, he should hold fast on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He should stick strongly on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and at the same time he should follow the way of the scholars. He should be with the scholar of this deen, the scholar who known to be upon the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, the scholars who known to be upon the truth. He doesn't just go out on his own opinion and try to do his own way. He doesn't go away from the scholar of this deen. The time of the fitna, a Muslim, a really Muslim, he should stay together, he should stay with the ulama, the people, the knowledge of this deen, and he doesn't make his own decision. He doesn't go through the fitna on his own way. He be upon the sunnah and at the same time walk together with the ulama who are known to be on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam.
فإن المسلم في الفتن لا ينطلق من العواطف المجردة المدفوعة بالحماس العارم، ولا ينطلق كذلك أيضا من ردود الأفعال، فتكون تصرفاته هي عبارة عن ردود أفعال وليست عن موقف شرعي صحيح. فلا بد أن ينطلق المسلم من الموقف الشرعي الذي يجب أن يلتزمه في هذه الأحوال وفي هذه الظروف، وليس كما يفعل بعض الناس ينطلق في هذه الأمور ويخوض فيها بالعواطف والحماس والتهيج والإثارة وردود الأفعال. هذا كله مخالف للموقف الذي يجب أن يكون عليه المسلم صاحب السنة لزوم الشرع في هذا. نعم.
The Sheikh went on and says, حفظه الله تعالى, that the Muslim on the time of the fitna is not okay for him to follow the emotions that come to him because of the situation that is around himself. It's not okay for a Muslim who is upon the sunnah to follow the awatif or the emotions or the desires, or just to go to respond to the fitna without knowing the reality or what's going on. He said the Muslim, the real Muslim, he stand upon the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the days of the fitna, and he should really return to Allah and follow what is correct. Do not follow the emotions or the desire of his own way. And also, he said, just like some people you might see or might hear, some of the people, how they do their actions. They follow their emotions. They go with their desires on the time of the fitna. They respond to the fitna following their desires, not to follow what Allah said, what the Messenger said, what the word of ulama of this deen. They go with their emotions, which is against the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger. So the Shaykh says it's not appropriate for the Muslim to go with the emotions on the time of the fitna. Is upon a Muslim to take reason and see what is correct and be with the ulama of this deen of Islam.
نعم، والنصوص في هذا الأمر كثيرة جدا، لأن المسلم في حال الفتن عليه بالتريث والتأني وعدم الاستعجال والخوف في الأمور أو في الفتن من غير علم شرعي ومن غير الرجوع لأهل العلم والفقه في هذا.
The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he said, also if you're looking for some proof or some evidences in this matter, the Shaykh have a lot of proof and a lot of evidences that prove to other Muslims should take his time down to rush into fitna and get to a conclusion, a judging on according to what's going, is going around himself. It's upon the Muslim to do not be hasty on the time of the fitna. It's not appropriate for Muslim to be hasty and to rushing to conclusion or to respond to the fitna, as he mentioned, hafizahullah ta'ala, but is upon the Muslim to be with the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and to be with the scholars of this deen.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كما في الحديث الذي في صحيح مسلم يقول تعرض الفتن على القلوب كعرض الحصير عودا عودا فأي قلب أشربها نكتت فيه نكتة سوداء وأي قلب أنكرها نكتت فيه نكتة بيضاء حتى يصير على قلبين قلب أسود مربادا كالكوز مجخية لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا إلا ما أشرب على هواه وقلب أبيض لا تضره فتنة كالشمس لا تضره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض. ومعنى هذا أن القلوب في الفتن على صنفين، إنسان خاض في الفتن وتقبلها وأصبح رأسا فيها فهذا والعياذ بالله يموج في الفتنة ويتدرج فيها ويضل ضلالا كبيرا، والآخر تريث وأنكر هذه الفتن ولم يخط بها إلا بعد علم وإلا بعد الرجوع لأهل الفقه والشرع واجتنب الفتن، فإنه حينئذ يكون من الناجين السعداء ويكون ممن سلم الله عز وجل قلبه من الفتن.
نعم. He mentioned حفظه الله تعالى the hadith of the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. The hadith can be found in Sahih Muslim. He said the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام said the fitna or the trials and tribulation will be brought to the human being to the heart of the human being, like a stick after stick, like just like, you know, if you know, there's al-hasir is a type of rag that people do with their hands. They have to bring a lot of sticks together to make this rag, to make this kind of hasir that people, like from other countries, they sit on this hasir. The Shaykh says the fitna will be brought to the heart of the people. And a stick, one stick after another, just like the person who is making hasir, that people will sit or bring a lot of stick together in order to make the hasir or a rag. And he said, when this fitna has been brought to the people, to the heart of the people, those heart who will accept the fitna, the person who will take the fitna, put in and swallow the fitna and act upon the fitna, Allah will put a black dark on his heart. And another person will reject the fitna, will never act upon the fitna or the trial, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put a white dot on his heart. And he says, to the point that someone who takes the fitna all the time, or follow the fitna, or act upon the fitna, his heart will turn to be black, because him following the fitna and acting upon his emotions and desires as the fitna goes. And he says, the meaning of this hadith, as the Shaykh explains, is when the fitna comes, you will see some of the people go with the fitna. Or they act upon the fitna, they follow their emotions. Those are the people who their heart, Allah will put the black dirt seed, they become like black, really black. And you see another group of the people who they see the fitna, they turn away from the fitna. They stick with the ulama, they go with the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger, and they listen to the people of knowledge. They do not act upon their emotions and concerning the fitna. These are the people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the white dirt in their heart. They will be clean because they are not acting upon the fitna that's going on around them.
وفي حديث المقداد بن الأسود رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن إن السعيد لمن جنب الفتن ولمن ابتلي فصبر رواه أبو داود وأيضا ينبغي في حالة الفتن أن يكثر الإنسان من الدعاء وفي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال أسعد الناس في الفتن كل خفي تقي إن ظهر لم يعرف وإن غاب لم يفتقد وأشقى الناس فيها كل خطيب مصفع أو راكب موضع لا يخلص من شرها إلا من أخلص الدعاء فدعاء الغرق في البحر ولهذا الحديث شواهد الحاصل أنه في الفتن عليه بالصبر وعليه بالإكثار من الدعاء وعدم الخوض فيها بلا علم نعم.
The Shaykh mentioned another hadith حفظه الله تعالى on the authority of Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad رضي الله عنه. He said, I heard the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام said, the happier person or the happiest person is the person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him away from the fitna, from the trials. The person who is Sa'id, the person who has a good time and is the happiest person in this life, is that one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make him be involved with any type of fitna. Whenever fitna happens, is not involved with any fitna, is far away from the fitna. He mentioned this three times. So the happiest person in this life is the person who junib al fitan has been put away, is not involved with any type of fitna. Also he says, and the other person who is really happiest is the person who, if Allah tests him with the fitna, he is patient, he has patience with him. If Allah tests him and put him through trials and tribulation, you see him have patience. Also, he says, the Shaykh mentioned another point, he says, it's very important that we increase the dua on the time of the trials like this day. It's important that people make a lot of du'as and increasing du'a, make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, he mentioned another hadith on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, a happiest person also in the time of the fitna is a person who is a taqi, the one who fears Allah, also is clean from the fitna. Is not involving himself with the fitna. This person, if he's not in the group, nobody look for him because he's not the type of person who is known by causing fitna. If he's there, nobody gonna notice him because he's just a pious person, he's quiet, he's clean. If he's there, nobody gonna notice him. If he's not around, nobody gonna ask about him because he's not known as a person who always bring up some fitna around the people. So he said the meaning of this hadith really is to understand that it's not appropriate to be involved with any kind of fitna that's taking place, that's going on. People should have patience and try to be with the scholar of this deen, the scholar who are upon the sunnah of the Muslim.
وعلى هذا فإننا نرى أن أكثر الخائضين في هذه الفتنة على سبيل الخصوص نرى إما أن يكونوا من الحزبيين المندفعين والحماسيين وإما أناس أيضا يعني لا علم لهم ولا فقه لديهم وإما أناس أيضا ركبوا هذه الفتنة ليستغلوها في الطعن في أهل السنة والنيل منهم
Therefore, the Shaykh Hafizahullah Ta'ala, he mentioned, he says, after mentioning these two hadith from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, so we see nowadays, or we see on the time of the fitna, the people who get themselves involved in the fitna, either they may be the Hizbis, the Hizbiyun, the people who are in the sect of Hizbis, or the people who really they don't have any knowledge. The people who follow their desires, those are the people who might see them involved in the fitna and try to make the big deal and make themselves involved too much in the fitna. Or it says, you might see those, the people who get themselves involved in the fitna are those who try to criticize the sunnah of the Messenger. They put themselves under the cover of the sunnah of the Messenger, but they are not really on the sunnah. Those are the ones who you see them involved in the fitna and the trial, try to make the sunnah of the Messenger look bad. So they make themselves involved and do follow their emotions and follow their desires, but the really people who have knowledge and power or stick with the ulama, you don't see them involved in any type of the fitna on the days of the fitna that is happening.
Now,
نعم نسمع الأسئلة بعد هذا إذا كان في أسئلة
تفضل. As the Sheikh, we supposed to have him last week, he wasn't feeling well. So he said, right now, inshallah, if there's any question that people have, he's not really feeling well, so he's not going to give a long talk, inshallah ta'ala. So we're going to take questions. And I have one question, like I was talking to him and asking to ask this question so he can answer to the people, inshallah, so people can benefit. I'm going to ask the first question, then if anybody got a question, inshallah, as he asked me this question, you can write down the question that you have, inshallah, and I'm going to give it to the Sheikh. As-su'al al-awwal.
ما نصيحتكم في هذه الأيام مثلا فيما يجري الآن عندنا في أمريكا من هذه الفتن التي سمعتموها ماذا تنصحون المسلمين الذين يعيشون في هذه البلاد خاصة في هذه الأيام أيام الفتن؟
The question asked the Sheikh, what is advice upon us nowadays through this fitna that we are going through, that is happening in this country and we're living here? What kind of advice is giving the Muslims who live in this country these days? How should we deal with this fitna that's going on now in America, and we're living in this fitna? We want to hear the advice from the Sheikh, inshallah ta'ala.
نعم.
سبق الإشارة إلى هذا في المقدمة لما تكلم أنه يجب يعني في هذه الكلمة المختصرة يجب الصبر ولزوم يعني السنة ولزوم العلماء الموثوق بعلمهم فيما حصل الآن في هذا، وكذلك أيضا على المسلمين أن لا يعرضوا أنفسهم للأذى بالكلام فيما لا فائدة منه والخوض فيما لا جدوى منه. نعم. وكذلك أيضا عليهم أن يعودوا لأهل العلم كما قلنا المعروفين ويسألون فيما نزل بهم من مصاب، ولذلك نقول إن عليهم الصبر والإكثار من الدعاء ومحاولة يعني تعريف الناس بأن ما فعله هؤلاء جماعة بن لادن ونحوه أنه لا يمت للإسلام الصحيح لصلة، إنما هؤلاء جماعة من الخوارج، والخوارج قديما عرفوا بفتنهم وضلالهم في صدر الإسلام، ففي صدر الإسلام قد آذوا المسلمين كثيرا وعملوا فيهم السيف، واشترك مع هؤلاء الخوارج كثير من أهل الأهواء والبدع كما قال أبو قتادة أهل الأهواء وإن اختلفت أهواؤهم فإنهم يلتقون في السيف الخروج وفي قتل الناس والهجوم عليهم، وما حصل من هؤلاء إنه لا يمثل الإسلام الصحيح بشيء، فإن الإسلام حرم قتل الذين العجزة والنساء والأطفال، هذا إن كانوا في حال حرب، فكيف ونحن الآن لسنا في حال حرب وإنما في حال سلم مع النصارى الموجودين في أمريكا وفي أوروبا وغيرهم، وما حصل لا يمس للإسلام بصلة، وقد بين العلماء هذا الأمر وأنكروه إنكارا كبيرا، وهو الصواب في هذا، النصوص كثيرة في ذلك، النصوص السنة كثيرة في ذلك، ويبينوا يعني أنهم ينكرون مثل هذا الجرم ومثل هذا الفعل، وأنه أساء للإسلام والمسلمين كثيرا، وأنه أيضا هؤلاء محسوبين على الإسلام وفتنهم عظيمة وشرهم كبير، فهم جروا الأمة في مشاكل وجروها في أمور كانت في غنى عنها، وهذا ديدنهم منذ فجر الإسلام إلى هذا اليوم، تخرج فئة منهم وتعمل السيف في الناس قتلا وذبحا وسفكا،
نعم. Now, the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala, he answered the question that I asked, and he said, he pointed into the question in the beginning of his talk, Hafizullah Ta'ala, and he says, in answering the question, he says, he advised people to have patience in this time of the fitna, and to have the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and not to put yourself in the situation that you might be harmed or anything may happen to you that doesn't please you. Also, the Shaykh says, Allah Ta'ala, that he advised us to go back to the people of knowledge. We have to have relationship with the people of ilm, that we go back to them, ask them the questions. If anything unclear to us, we return back to the people of ilm, so they can make the way clear for us, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And he said, what took place from the action of Bin Laden and his Jama'ah, or whoever might be, that has nothing to do with Islam, has no relation, is not from Al-Islam. There's not any connection with Al-Islam, the correct religion of Islam, with the act that took place in this country from those people who did what they did. Islam doesn't allow that. Islam has no way to make people do whatever took place in that in this or the last month in this country. Also, he says, Islam, those people who did that, they known as Khawarij, the people who they usually go against the leadership, or they go up for killing people without the innocent people who they don't have no right to kill them. The people of Ahwa, the people who follow their desire, the people who do what they did. Now Islam has no connection, has nothing to do with it. Also, he says Islam is in the religion of Islam made impermissible to kill the older people and women and children. This is the time of jihad. Islam made it permissible to kill the older people and women and children if the Muslims are fighting with the kuffar. So what about now? There's not even jihad. There's no fighting between Muslim and kafir. Those people, they go there and kill people who are women and children, older people, people who they don't have right to kill. This is not permissible in the time of fighting between the Muslim and kafir. So say if this is going to take place in the peace time, say, right now people used to, we were living in a peace time between the non-Muslim and Muslim, with no war between Muslim and non-Muslim. So those people, they cause a lot of disaster and calamity on the Muslims. Those who did what they did, they cause a lot of problem on the Muslims because of the act and that came from the action of Khawarij, the action of the people who follow their desires. And say the scholars denied it. The scholar, no one of the scholars supporting this act that took place. None of the scholars of the Sunnah is with this act of that took place in this country. And there's a lot of proof in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger that make this impermissible. Meaning the act that took place, and there's no connection, has no connection in Islam, or anything that supports this act in Islam, we can never find. If we can never find any. So he says, the fitna that they cause is a major fitna, is a huge fitna that they're causing to the Muslims, and they cause the Ummah of Islam to go through the trial and tribulation from the Kuffar because of the action that came from the action of the Khawarij, which is now, and according to the Sunnah of the Messenger, also says at the time that we have to make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah help us and make easy for us, inshallah ta'ala, for this from this action that and has been committed by those who are not upon the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, by they known as the Khawarij, the group of Khawarij, those who are known by not obeying the leadership, or they just known by going out and killing people, that their minhaj. So the Shaykh says, make clear that none of the scholars is with this. And the action that took place has nothing to do with Islam, has nothing to do with the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, but the action of the people who are known as the Khawarij and the people who follow their desires. The question is, Sheikh, may Allah reward you with the Jannah, Ameen. If a new Shahada sister accepts Islam and she has dreadlock, does she cut them or leave them? May Allah bless you with all good. Now,
السائل يقول إذا دخلت في الإسلام يعني إذا دخلت الأخت في الإسلام و يعني هي حديثة عاجم بالإسلام لكنها دخلت وعلى رأسها ما نسميها يعني أظافر بس هي ليس كظوافر النساء. يعني هي هنا عندنا بعض الناس لا يربطون شعورهم بما نسميه الزهد. لا أجد كلمة العربية اللي أبينها لكم وحفظكم الله. يقول إذا دخلت الأخت في الإسلام ولها وربطت في رأسها ظوافر كثيرة, هل تفكها أم تتركها بعد إسلامها؟
ظوافر هذه يعني وصلتها هي تصل شعرها بشيء؟
نعم هي وهو كذلك ربما تصل شعرها بشيء.
ها؟ ليس من شعرها. تصله بشيء يعني آخر.
تصل الآن. Dread got be from with something outside the hair or just the hair itself. And when people got dread, just the hair. The hair doesn't make that. They don't. يعني هذه عبارة عن شخص لا ينظف شعره ويتركه يعني يربط شعره وهذا الشعر يكبر ويكون طويلا ولا يقصه أبدا يعني مربوط يعني تجدها في رأسك بكثرة يعني ربطت برباط.
هو امرأة أم رجل؟ المقصود هنا هل هي امرأة أم رجل؟
هذا يوجد في كليهما, في الرجل وفي امرأة.
بالنسبة إن كان لرجل يستحب أن يعني يحلق رأسه, قال بذلك بعض الفقهاء, وإن لم يتيسر يغسل هذا الشعر يحله, وكان متصلا به شيء فإنه لا يجوز له أن يستعمل مثل هذا الشيء ويوصل به ويدع رأسه بهذا الشكل, لا يقربه ولا ينظفه ولا يعتني به, لأن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول من كان له شعر فليكرمه, بمعنى لا يدع الأوساخ تترتب عليه أو يجعله بمنظر سيء ليس من الإسلام في شيء. فالإسلام يحث على الطهارة والنظافة. نعم, كذلك بالنسبة للمرأة, المرأة إن كانت أوصلت هذا الشيء ليس من شعرها, إنما هو إما أن تكون خيوط أو نوع من الـ ما يسمى بالباروكة أو نحو ذلك, ها؟ عليها أن لا تفعل هذا, عليها أن تزيله وأن تغسل شعره وتنظفه وأن تتطهر للإسلام عند دخولها في الإسلام. نعم.
Now the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى said, if this has happened with a man or a man who accepts Islam or is in Islam already, is recommended for him to cut his hair and look clean. Do not have them dread the stay on your head, look on a dead end, you don't look clean, you know, you're supposed to look clean and you don't look filthy on your head if this is a man. And they mentioned the hadith of the Messenger said, whoever has the hair he should be nice to his hair, means he should clean his hair and he should take off his hair. If whoever wanna grow his hair, then you should clean your hair and get it clean and take care of your hair and do not leave the filthy thing stay in your hair and for a long time. Is recommended that a man cut his hair and get it clean and wash it. And the same thing for a lady. She accepts Islam. He mentioned one point for a lady, and especially if she got some extension on her hair, she has to get, you know, take them stuff off and clean her hair and look like a lady. You know, have anything that make you look unclean, or even if you clean by something that is not usually for women to have, then you have to look like a woman and clean your, and you know, she has to clean her hair, and if she has to cut it, if it's easy for her to cut it, then she, that what she should do, or she unbraid the hair, especially if she has something from outside the hair like braids or anything that they might, you know, add together on the hair, and you know, she has to take them stuff out and clean her hair, inshallah ta'ala, so you know, she looks clean, not to look like someone who, you know, never really take a shower, and you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
أقول لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمر ثمامة بن عتال عندما أسلم أن يغتسل, والحديث في الصحيحين أمره أن يغتسل, بل أيضا ورد في الحديث الآخر وهو في النسائي حديث قيس بن عاصم كما أمره النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن يغتسل بماء وسدر يتنظف من هذه النجاسات التي كانت عالقة به أيام كفره, فإذا أسلم عليه أن يزيل مثل هذه النجاسات سواء من رأسه أو من بدنه أو نحو ذلك, يزيلها قدر استطاعته. نعم.
The Sheikh also mentioned another proof that one of the companions accepted Islam, and the messenger told him to go and wash himself to show clearly that this is a proof that a person have to keep himself clean. You know, if you have to clean your hair or clean your body, you have to clean yourself. You don't look like someone who really never take a shower. Also, another narration, he says, he asked him to go take a shower with the water and the siddur. So it's a type of leaf that they even use to wash a dead person to clean him, and just to show that in a person they gotta clean themselves when they accept Islam, or if they have anything that don't look clean, is for them to look, you know, to clean themselves and to take a shower. If they have to, you know, take and, you know, shave their hair, and to for them to look clean, them that what they have to do, or braid their hair and to look clean, that what they have to do, as the Sheikh mentioned. Now, another question is, I can't read this. What else? He says, what are some signs of the differentiation between the whispering of the shaitan and your own desires? How can you make a difference? I think that's the question.
السائل يقول, كيف يفرق الشخص بين وساوس الشيطان ووساوس النفس التي تأتي من عند نفسه والتي تأتي من الشيطان, كيف الفرق بين هذين الأمرين حفظكم الله؟
وغالبا بالنسبة لوساوس الشيطان يعني الأمور التي قد يحدثه بالشبهات, إن كان المسلم يكثر من الطاعات والعبادات فيجتنب المحرمات كالزنا وشرب الخمر ونحوه, إذا لم يفلح الشيطان بإيقاعه في المحرمات فإنه يوقع في باب الشبهات, وهو أن يشككه في وجود الله عز وجل أو في قدرة الله عز وجل أو في أمر من الأمور المتعلقة بذاته تبارك وتعالى, أو مثلا ما يتعلق ببعض الشبهات المتعلقة بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أو بالإسلام ونحو ذلك, فيثير عنده مثل هذه الشبهات, وهذه تكون من وساوس الشيطان, وينبغي أن لا يلتفت لها, وإنما عليه أن يقول آمنت بالله ورسله, وأن يصرف ذهنه وعقله عن ذلك, لأنه قد ثبت في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يزال الشيطان بأحدكم فيقول له من خلق هذا ومن خلق هذا ومن خلق هذا, حتى يقول له ومن خلق الله. هذه شبهة كبيرة, فإذا وجد أحدكم ذلك فليقل آمنت بالله ورسله, وفي رواية فليستعذ بالله, وفي رواية ولينصرف, يعني لا يشغل عقله وفكره في مثل هذه الأمور. وقد كان عمر بن الخطاب سمع رجلا يقال له صبيغ يسأل عن هذه المتشابهات, ما النازعات غرقة, ما الناشطات نشطة, ما المرسلات عرفة, سمع به عمر بن الخطاب يسأل عن المتشابه في القرآن، فضربه بالذرة بالعصا حتى أوجعه، ثم قال: لقد ذهب ما في رأس يا أمير المؤمنين. فكان الصحابة ينهون عن أن يسترسل الإنسان بالوساوس والشبهات التي يلقيها الشيطان عليه، يريد أن يشككه في دينه وفي إسلامه وفي عقيدته وفي توحيده. فهذه من أعظم وساوس الشيطان، لأن الشيطان يأتي من ثلاثة أبواب. الباب الأول يأتي من الشبهات، ويأتي من الشهوات، ويأتي من الغضب. الباب الأول الشبهات، ثم إذا وجد أن هذا الرجل عنده علم وعنده دين جاءه من الشهوات، أو إذا وجد أن عنده حب للشهوات جاءه منها، وإما أن يأتيه من الباب الثالث من باب الغضب. وسيأتي تفصيل هذا بالنسبة لوساوس الشيطان التي يلقيها على الناس. ستأتي الكلام عن وساوس النفس بعد أن تترجم هذا. تفضل.
The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he answered the question. He said, the whispering of the shaitan comes from usually shaitan comes to you by making you confused. When he comes to you with confusion, he wanted to get you confused about different things. And especially if shaitan sees someone is far away from the sins, he doesn't commit sins, in his pious, he's trying to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't have any kind of sins, the shaitan comes to you on the door of making you confused, make you doubt, bring some doubt in you. So the Shaykh says, whenever you feel like, you know, and you have this thought or think about, you know, you think about, you know, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're trying to doubt and think, where's Allah is and how he exists, those come from the shaitan. So, and are we trying to come to you, make you think about Islam, some of the issues in Islam make you doubt, I don't think this is right, I don't think this is correct, from Islam, that's come from the shaitan. And he said, if you hear those come into you, say, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi, I believe in Allah and His messengers. I believe in Allah, and that's what you say, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi, I believe in Allah and His messengers. Also, he says, I mentioned the hadith that says, Shaitan will never stop, come to one of you, telling him, who created this? Who created that? Still he comes to you, telling you, who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those come from the Shaitan. He comes to you with this question, who created that such and such? Who created that? Still he comes to you with this question, who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Say, when we feel this in you, this is from the shaitan, and seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, and then you should really, and you should say what the Shaykh also said, the hadith just mentioned, Amantu billahi wa rusulihi, I believe in Allah and His messenger. And he says also, I mentioned the after from Umar radiallahu anhu, that was a man on the time of Umar, he used to ask too many questions like he was doubting. What's the meaning of an-Nazi'at? What an-Nazi'at supposed to mean? What this angels? What this and that in the Quran? That like he was having some doubts in him. Then Umar one time he came out with a stick and he beat him on his head so hard. And this person he told Umar, now I'm really clean. I don't have no more doubts in me. So after he beat him, he said, I don't have no more doubt. I was having some doubts, but now I'm clean. So also he mentioned, says Shaytan comes to a human being in three ways. The first way he comes to you is the shubuhat. He comes to you on the door of desires. If he finds you strong on the desires, you cannot fall into any desire like women or anything like that. He comes to you on the door of shubuhat. He makes you doubt and confused and try to think of doubting about Allah or Islam or anything in Islam. Or if he finds you strong in this door, he comes to you on the door of the anger. And he gets you angry, make you say some bad things, make you want to fight. So shaitan, these are the ways that he comes to the people with, you know, when he's trying to get them, you know, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know, is there any other question? That question? InshaAllah. Naam. So inshaAllah, that the question, the answer from the Shaykh, hafizahullah ta'ala. This phone card is going to cut off, and we're going to have to call Shaykh back, inshaAllah.
Naam. البطاقة التي نستعملها الآن قد تنقطع إن شاء الله تعالى، فإذا انقطعت سنتصل بكم، عندنا سؤال وسؤالان بقية إن كان عندكم وقت حفظكم الله.
لتتمة هذا السؤال السابق،
نعم
السؤال السابق تكلمنا أولا عن وساوس الشيطان،
نعم
تبقى الكلام على وساوس النفس.
نعم.
وساوس النفس هي من الشيطان أيضا، قال تعالى إنما النجوى من الشيطان، فهذه الوساوس قد تصده مثلا عن الطاعة بأنه قد يعمل طاعة يقول أنت تعمله رياء، أو تسده عن العلم وطلب العلم، قد تطلب العلم لغير الله، فهذه أيضا وساوس النفس قد يدخل منها الشيطان ويجعل الإنسان في حزن وفي ضيق، وربما يصرفه عن الطاعات ويشغله بهموم نفسه وخواطر نفسه، ولذلك على الإنسان أن ينصرف عن هذا ويستعذ بالله عز وجل، قال تعالى وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله. نعم.
The Sheikh says to complete the question that was asked, he only mentioned the whispering of the shaitan. Now he says, when I mention the whispering of the oneself, or the desire of the person, says also the waswas of nafs, those whispering that comes, from oneself, from oneself, those also come from the shaitan. The origin of those whispering also is from the shaitan. No, he says, no, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innama an-najwa min ash-shaytan," the whispering or the talk that people talk, low their voices and try to like talk about somebody, that's from the shaytan. Those whispering are from the shaytan. And he says, those come trying to make you stop worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trying to make you, if you're trying to do something good for Allah, the whispering comes to you, try to make you do not do that, do not go for it, do not give anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything that may be that you're trying to do for the sake of Allah, that whispering comes from oneself, that is also from the shaitan, but the difference is this will say, I make you stop from not doing anything. The other ones bring subhat, make you confused, make you doubt on something that you already believe in, bring doubts in your belief. But the other ones that come from oneself, it makes you stop not doing period. Stop making salah, stop giving sadaqah, stop making sunnahs, anything that you're trying to do for Allah, trying to make you stop doing it, period. The other ones make you confused in which you already believe in. You have belief in Allah, make you think, who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why this, why that? Why cannot be this and only day not, without having night? Those kind of doubts that are trying to put in your heart. The other one, and try to make you do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make you free yourself from under the ta'a of Allah or the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the wasawis or the whispering that come from oneself, but they also come from the shaitan as the origin of the whispering of the Sheikh was talking about. Now, let me see if the Sheikh finishes the point.
نعم هل كملتم هذا السؤال حفظكم الله؟
نعم تفضل السؤال الثاني.
أوكي ها.
الذي عندنا الآن يقول.
I'm gonna read the question in English first. It says, may Allah hear you, Sheikh. The question that we have now, may Allah care you, Sheikh. Hijra is wajib upon us, but when do we know when we have made the proper preparation for hijra concerning our wealth, debts, our families, and the current fitna? Which might continue to get worse.
السائل يقول من المعلوم أن الهجرة واجبة علينا، ولكن متى يعلم المسلم أنه يجب عليه الهجرة أو تجب عليه الهجرة الآن مع ما نعيش فيه الآن من الفتن، والرجل قد يكون مديونا عند الآخر، أو مثلا أهله قد يكونون عند المشاكل تحت المشاكل وما أشبه ذلك، والأمور التي تجري الآن من الفتن، متى يعلم المسلم أنه تجب عليه الهجرة إذا علمنا أن الهجرة واجبة علينا حفظكم الله؟
هذا السؤال يحتاج إلى تفصيل طويل لهذه المسألة، يحتاج إلى تفصيل طويل بالنسبة للهجرة المسلمين هنالك. واجب هي إن تيسر له أن ينتقل إلى بلاد إسلامية يقيم فيها شرع الله وينشأ أبناءه نشأة سوية، هذا أولى وأفضل، وإن بل يجب عليه ذلك. فإن لم يتيسر له، هذه خلاصة، إن لم يتيسر له وكان في إقامته بين هؤلاء مناصر لإخواني هناك ومضيا في دعوتهم وكذلك في يعني تحقيق مصالح لهم، يعني يكون بينهم مصالح مشتركة، وكذلك أيضا في بقائي هناك تقوية لشوكة المسلمين، وكذلك أيضا لإكثار سواد المسلمين أيضا، فلا بأس عليه أن يجلس هناك حتى يعني يكون عونا لإخوانه المسلمين ونصرتهم على الحق ولزومه والتعاون فيما بعد في الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. والصبر هو سواء هنا وهناك عليه بالصبر، وخاصة بما بالنسبة لما حصل الآن على المسلمين أن يتواصوا وأن يجتمعوا وأن يتحدوا وأن يتعاونوا فيما بينهم وأن يتجنبوا الخوض في الفتن كما تقدم، وكذلك أيضا أن يحذروا من أهل الأهواء والمفترين الذين يعني يحاولون النيل من أهل السنة خاصة بإثارة الشبهات وإثارة الأكاذيب حوله. وكما قلت هذا السؤال يحتاج له تفصيل طويل بالنسبة للهجرة وأحكامه، لعله
here as far as hijra is concerned. But he said, however, the hijra is mandatory, but is mandatory if things are easy, way away is easy to make hijra. So if a person can find a Muslim country where he can go and live easily without having no problems, that's better for him to go in his family. But if he cannot find a place to go like these days, and it's not easy to just find a place to go, yeah, we can just enter and live there. There's procedure, you know, as far as visa and stuff like that, might not be easy for a person to get those, then he will stay where he's at. But where he's going to be, he has to be involved with the da'wah to call people to Islam. And he mentioned also another point, he says, even if it might be easy for someone to make hijrah, but where he lives, if there's a maslah, there's a benefit for the Muslims for him to be there, or there's a benefit for the da'wah for him to be there, or for there's a benefit him and the brothers come together and spread the da'wah for the sake of Allah, then he should stay there, work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spreading the da'wah in the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So there's no harm for him to stay with his brothers in Islam, working for the sake of Allah, spreading the da'wah or the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, but with the caution of not being involved with the people of the desires, people of our sects, people who have make you confused on your aqidah or on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But as long as you are with the right people on the same level as you are with the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, now with the people who are astray, then you're going to be okay inshallah ta'ala. But the Shaykh also said this question need a little bit details when inshallah in the near future, if he has a chance, he might bring some details for this question inshallah ta'ala.
أريد أن أنبه هنا أيضا، يعني أنبه تنبيه موجز ومختصر، أقول إن حكم الهجرة من دار الحرب إلى دار الإسلام، هذا إذا كانت دار حرب أول إلى دار الإسلام، هذه مرتبطة ارتباطا وثيقا بمدى إمكانية المسلم ومقدرته على إقامة شعائر دينه في أمان تام. إذا كان يستطيع أن يقيم شعائر دينه ويقيم دينه كذلك في أمان تام ولا يخشى يعني أن يضايقه أحد في ذلك، وكذلك لا يخشى أن يفتن في دينه ودين أهله وعياله وأبنائه، إن كان لا يقدر على إظهار دينه ويخاف الفتنة والاضطهاد فيه أو في دين أسرته، ففي هذه الحالة يجب عليه الهجرة متى استطاع عليها وهذا قد أجمع عليه العلماء. ويدل على ذلك قوله تعالى في سورة النساء: إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا. في هذه الآية أوجب الله عز وجل على المسلمين الذين يقيمون بين ظهراني المشركين وليسوا متمكنين من قامة الدين لا يستطيعون أن يقيمون دينهم أوجب عليهم الهجرة بشرط المقدرة والطاقة إذا استطاع يعني عنده من المال وعنده من الزاد ما يستطيع به أن يرحل إذا كان لا يستطيع أن يقيم شعائر دينه في تلك الأرض أرض الكفار. ولذلك أيضا قال الإمام القرطبي يجوز ترك الهجرة عند فقد الزاد والراحلة. ولعله يتيسر لنا أن نبين هذا في جلسة أخرى أو مجلس آخر بالنسبة للهجرة وأحكامه. نعم تفضل.
And the Sheikh said he want to make one point clear or make a notice to the brothers concerning hijrah. He said if a person want to make a hijrah from the country of the war, like where the war is going on, or the country of non-Muslims to a country of Muslims, this there's a situation that can go with it. He said the only time that is mandatory for a person to make a hijrah, mandatory if he is in place that he cannot establish Islam, he's not allowed to practice Islam, he's not allowed to do anything, whatever he has to do, he has to hide himself. Then that becomes mandatory on him to make a hijrah to go somewhere else where Islam has been established, or he's going to have some freedom to establish his Islam or to practice Islam. But other than that, it's not mandatory. As he mentioned, the ayah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, when I said, verily, those who the angels come to them and they take their sword, and I'm sure more on some of you already read the ayah, those who the angels come to them and take their sword, they ask them, where have you been? In what situation you used to be? They will say, we used to be weak on the earth. We didn't have any strength. And the response is going to be to them, you didn't know that the earth of Allah was wide enough for you to make a hijrah to go and to go to different places. And the excuse is only for women and children. The Shah said this ayah is for those who don't have the ability to establish their religion or to practice Islam in the country that they live in. If their situation, this is what Allah is talking about in this ayah. But the person who is not being stopped on applying Islam or following the Sunnah in his life, him and his family, he said hijrah is not mandatory on him. Except when the situation comes, on the first situation where someone cannot establish Islam in his life or in the country that he's living, then he has to find a place to go where he can be able to establish Islam and him and his family. And he says also, like Imam Al-Qurtubi said in his book, that the hijrah become not mandatory when a person don't have means, don't have like a zad, like food and money, or he doesn't have a car to take him there. Or a plane ticket. So Imam Qurtubi said, in this time, the hijrah don't come, is not mandatory no more if a person cannot have money or don't have means to take him there, to be there. It's not mandatory. But the Shaykh says, inshallah, in the future, maybe we're going to go in details in this in issue of hijrah. But this one, the point they want to make that the hijrah is only mandatory on those who do not have the chance to apply Islam, to establish Islam in them and their families. They, for them to even to look like Muslims, they have to be hidden, and they cannot do anything except in a private place. They cannot go out, make salah. They've been oppressed, then they have to make a hijrah. But if you live in an area that nobody bother you, what you do, you have a freedom to make salah, freedom to establish Islam, freedom to dress as a Muslim, then the Shaykh says, in this case, the hijrah won't become mandatory. But you should have to, like you mentioned before, that if you can spread Islam and work together, if there's maswala, there's benefit for you being there, then inshallah you'll be there. But if there's no way to establish Islam, you gotta find a way to go a place where Islam is gonna be established, inshallah ta'ala.
قل يعني لا بد أيضا أن ننبه على أمر مهم جدا، وهو أنه لا بد أن نفرق بين من يعيش بإسلامه بأمان ويكون في الأصل هذا المكان الذي هو فيه، وإن كان غلب عليه الكفار هو موطنه، ولكنه يعيش فيه بأمان ويعيش كذلك بإسلامه ويظهر دينه وشعائره بحرية، وبين من يفتن ويضطهد ويحارب لأجل معتقده ولأجل دينه. لا بد من التفريق بين هذين الأمرين. ففي الأول ينبغي عليه أن يمكث في تلك البلد ما دام مقيما لدينه و يعني معلنا لشعائر الإسلام فيها، وأما الثاني فإنه لا ينبغي له القعود فيها، بل ينبغي له أن يسر بدينه من تلك البلاد حتى لا يفتن في دينه ويفتن أهله كذلك. وفي هذا نصوص كثيرة لأهل العلم. أذكر على هذا السبيل أن بعض العلماء قال: من قدر على الامتناع والاعتزال في دار الكفر ولم يرجو نصرة المسلمين بالهجرة، يعني إذا هاجر هل ينصر المسلمين بهجرته؟ قال: كان مقامه واجبا، لا بد أن يقيم في بلده تلك ما دام يستطيع ويمتنع في هذه البلد ويستطيع أن يؤدي فيها شعائر الإسلام، لأن محله دار الإسلام، المحل هذا الذي يقيم فيه ويعلم فيه شعائره ويتواصل فيه مع إخوانه، هذا المحل المقيمين فيه يصبح فيما بينهم دار استطاعوا أن يعلنوا فيها الإسلام. ولو هاجر وتركها للكفار أصبحت كلها دار حرب. فبعضهم يوجب عليه ويفرق بين من يهاجر بسبب ما تعرض له من فتن واضطهاد وحرب لدينه وإسلامه، وبين من هاجر هكذا مجرد انتقال وترك لذلك المكان بدون سبب يدعوه لذلك. وهذا له تفصيل كما قلنا طويل. نعم.
The Sheikh, he mentioned another point concerning the Hijra, Juan. He said there's another point very important I want to mention to the brothers. He said if a person, a Muslim person, is living in a country, this is his country, that is where he was born. He's Muslim, but the majority of the country is non-Muslims. But him, he doesn't have no problem establishing Islam, making salah, openly, practice Islam beyond the Sunnah in the country that he was born and living there, and that's that is his homeland. And another person who live in an area where he's not allowed to establish Islam, he's been put in fitna and trials all the time, he's trying to do something about Islam. So you cannot, this their situation is not the same. So the person who live in a country where he was born, this is his homeland, and he's following the Sunnah without having no problems. There's no fitna. So this person, he should stay there. He should stay there where he's been established Islam. Nobody's asking to stop following Islam. Nobody asking to stop following the Sunnah. Basically, he's free. He has the freedom to establish or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be upon the correct understanding of this deen of Islam. He said that person should stay there. And that area that he lives in, that area is Islamic area, because he's been allowed to establish Islam, to practice Islam, to follow the Sunnah, and nobody bother him on that level of following and practicing Islam. But the person who is living in an area that is not allowing to follow Islam, he gotta leave. He have to find a way to go somewhere else where he's gonna be able to establish Islam and to follow the Sunnah of the Muslim alayhi salatu wasalam. But the person who, and he mentioned, he said there's a lot of proof in this. One of the proof he mentioned, he said, whoever live in a place that he has momentaneous, like, he has dignity, nobody bother him, nobody asks him to stop doing nothing, then he's Muslim. He's following Islam, is in the present Islam. In that area that he lives, he said that place he should stay there, because for him, that is the city of Islam. Even if your house is a little city of Islam, because you do everything you wanted to do as far as Islam, as far as the Sunnah, nobody stop you, then you have the freedom to do that. But the person who don't have the freedom, he has to hide himself to worship Allah, then he is the one who gotta find a place to go as a hijra in order to be able to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other person who, especially if it's your homeland, you was born there, you live there, and you don't have no problems in practicing Islam in your life, you and your family, then you stay there if you decide to stay in that area that you wanted to stay, as far as in the country that you live, and even if the majority is non-Muslim, but as long as nobody asks you to deny and establish Islam, nobody bothers you to do anything as far as Islam is concerned, then you stay there, inshallah ta'ala. نعم سؤال آخر. He said this. Those Salafiyin that are in Pakistan, that Taliban. I said Salafiyin. Okay. So she said Taliban. She said Salafiyin. So those Salafiyin that are in Pakistan, that are from America. What do you advise them to do? Live, stay, please advise.
السائل يقول عندنا الطلاب الذين يعيشون في أفغانستان يعني من أمريكا أمريكيون الذين سافروا لأفغانستان لطلب العلم ماذا نصيحتكم لهم؟ هل تنصحون لهم بالبقاء في أفغانستان أو بالمغادرة أو ماذا تنصحونهم حفظكم الله؟
ذهبوا هناك لطلب العلم؟
نعم سافروا لطلب العلم يبدو ذلك نيتهم في أسفارهم أنهم سافروا لأفغانستان لطلب العلم وهم الآن هنالك فنريد أن نعرف هل يرجعون أو يبقون هناك مع الفتن التي تجري في أفغانستان الآن
في باكستان أو أفغانستان
نعم هم سافروا لباكستان عفوا نعم باكستان هم الآن هل يبقون هناك ولا يخرجون نظرا لهذا الفتن
هم عليهم ان استطاعوا البقاء هناك في امان وفي كذا بقوا وان كان افضل لهم خير لهم ان يعودوا او يذهبوا الى مكان اخر يطلبون فيه العلم ويستفيدوا لان هنالك قد يبدو انهم ينشغلوا بالثورات والحماس والاندفاع في هذه الامور تصرفهم كثيرا عن طلب العلم والرجوع لاهل العلم خاصه يعني أنهم قريبين هناك من ما يحصل بين المسلمين وغيرهم نعم فلولا لهم أن يعني إما أن يذهبوا إلى بلد آخر يطلبون فيه العلم أو أن استطاعوا المكوث عند أهل العلم والفضل ويتلقون عليهم لا بأس والأولى لهم الرجوع نعم
هذا الشخص said this depends on the situation if they have ability to stay there in peace without being involved in any kind of fitna in their life is not in danger, then they can stay there and stick with the ulama of Pakistan, seek the knowledge. But if the situation is not good enough for them to stay, then it's better for them to leave. The shaykh is also, and we believe it's better for them if they can leave, if you know the fitnas keep going, then it's better for them to go maybe another country where they, you know, they can find some other ulama, some other scholars where they can seek the knowledge and study under those ulama. But in Pakistan, if they, you know, the condition for them to stay, if they, you know, they are live in peace, they don't have anything that they're afraid of might happen to them, you know, from this fitna that is going on, they might stay, but they have to stay close to the ulama and just seek the knowledge and go for, on a foot for what, you know, cause them to go to Pakistan as far as seeking the knowledge. The question is, if the Kufra continue to bomb civilians in Afghanistan, what is our position, the Muslimin over the world?
السائل يقول إذا استمر الكفار هنا في أمريكا على إرسال القنبلات في أفغانستان ويقتلون البريئين ماذا يكون موقف المسلمين في العالم؟
وهذا السؤال بالنسبة يعني هو ينبني على أن أولئك جروا المسلمين للوقوع في مثل هذا الأمر المحرج جدا أولئك الخوارج جروا المسلمين للوقوع في مثل هذا الأمر المحرج جدا فإنهم تحزبوا وتجمعوا وفعلوا ما فعلوا ثم لم يعبأوا بالشعب المسلم في أفغانستان وفي باكستان وما يتعرض له المسلمون هناك الأبرياء من قتل سبب هذه الضربات فجعلوا الأمر فيه نوع من الخلط نحن نقول إن هؤلاء المفسدين بالنسبة للخوارج أولئك جروا المسلمين إلى فتن عظيمة جدا ومشكلة كبيرة. فينبغي أولا أن يناصروا إخوانهم هناك بالنسبة للمسلمين الذين لا حول لهم ولا قوة والذين هم مغلوب على أمرهم من طالبان وبلادهم مغلوب على أمرهم. فالبلاء جاء من طالبان ومن بلادهم بالنسبة لهذا الأمر. أما الأبرياء والسكان والأطفال والنساء كما نرى يحصل من قتل وكذا، فإن الحكومات الإسلامية بادرت الآن بإرسال المعونات والمساعدات لهم، ولكن هؤلاء جروا الناس إلى فتن كبيرة. السبب فيها هؤلاء المفسدون الخوارج الذين ما عبئوا ولم يعني يفكروا مليا في عواقب مثل هذه الأفعال التي لا يقرها الشرع أبدا، فجروا الأمة إلى فتنة كبيرة جدا. الله المستعان، ما نقول إلا الله المستعان. نعم.
And the Sheikh said, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that it is important that Muslims do not put themselves in the situation that may cause harm to them or may cause another fitna to them after what has been happening. And the cause of this, as we know, is from those people who they took the action of the Khawarij and Ibn Laden, and it is cruel. And he said that all we can do just is just probably make dua and then to have patience and to try to do what we can do. Make dua for our brothers. And say the disaster came from those the leaders and the Taliban and Bin Laden, but the innocent people that has been killed, really we don't have too much to do except saying Allah al-Musta'an. And because all this happened because what the people did, those Bin Laden and his people did, they do stuff that might causing a fitna, large and a huge fitna to the Muslims, to the innocent people who have nothing to do with whatsoever that is happening. So, the fitna came from those leaders, those people who decide or they did what happened. Basically, he said, we go through a fitna now, something that really bothering every Muslim, every place. So, because, some Muslims are going to die, innocent people who never did anything wrong, because some crime some people commit, bringing people to die for other people's crime. So Allah al-Musta'an, we just to be careful that you don't get yourself involved in the situation that, you're going to be regretful later on, something that is not permissible from the book of Allah, with the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam.
Hey, Dawood, لديكم سؤال؟
بقي سؤال، نخشى كأننا تعبناكم، نخشى نتعبكم. بقي سؤالان، أن تسمحون لنا بسؤالين إن شاء الله حفظكم الله.
تفضل.
He said, as a Sheikh, may Allah be pleased with you, your statements advise me if a Muslim fall weak because of fitna, give me a method to increase my taqwa and my iman. May Allah help you and reward you. Amen.
السائل يقول يطلب منكم النصيحة إذا شعر بالضعف في قلبه إذا وقف الشبهات مثلا، يسأل ما الطريقة التي تقويه أو تعيده إلى التقوى ولا التمسك بالسنة بعدما ضعف قلبه وشعر أنه وقع في الشبهات وربما في بعض المعاصي حفظكم الله.
هذا يحتاج إلى جواب طويل، لكن نوجزه فيما يلي. أن الإنسان أولا عليه أن يحاسب نفسه حسابا عاقب الله عز وجل في أعماله، كذلك أيضا عليه أن يكثر بالاستعادة، يستعيذ بالله عز وجل من وساوس الشيطان ونزغاته، وكذلك أيضا أن لا يشغل عقله وذهنه بمثل هذه الشبهات، وكذلك أيضا عليه أن يدفع هذه الشبهات بالعلم ومصاحبة الأخيار ومصاحبة أهل السنة ولزومهم. قال تعالى واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي لا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. فينبغي أن يعمل بهذه الأمور وأن يكثر من الدعاء وأن يجتنب أماكن اللهو والفساد والأماكن التي تجره إلى المعاصي وتذكره بها، يجتنبها ويشتغل بالعلم وبالطاعات ويكثر من الطاعات ويلازم الصالحين ويبتعد عن الأشرار والمفسدين ويبتعد عن الأشياء التي تدعوه للفواحش وتدعوه كذلك للشبهات والشكوك. نعم.
Now, the Sheikh said, Allah Ta'ala, he said, these questions, the answer for it, and you know, there's a lot of detail, but I'm going to give you briefly the answer, inshallah Ta'ala. So, first of all, when you feel like you are falling into some weakness, you know, as far as following desires or in shubuhat, you commit some sins, so you have to check yourself. Everybody should really be put himself in account before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala counts you, check yourself. What you did today, you know, what's happening around you, and are you really doing right things, or you are falling apart by, you know, following the desire. Says also another thing might help you to stay firm is to have knowledge, to seek the knowledge, to be with the people of knowledge and study this religion and try to apply what you know. That will help, inshallah Ta'ala, to stay on top of your religion. Also to have friends as the pious people, you know, to be friends with the people who are trying to do right, not those who try to do wrong all the time. Be among the people who try to do right. That will help you to practice Islam and to follow the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah said in the Quran, talking to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, give yourself patience, or make yourself be patient with the people who invoke their Lord day and night. Those who invoke their Lord and they wish to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that. Those are the people that you have to be patient with them, those who are invoking their Lord day and night. Also it says to stay away from the place that you know they are not doing right. Like place of music, place of scenes that are going on, or with the sinners, they stay away from those places that you know there's nothing right is doing in that place, except everything is going on in there is wrong, or they commit some sins. Also to make dua, to make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you free and to guide you to the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Also to try to do more obedience of Allah, to try to increase you in your obedience of Allah, like to increase in sunnahs, make some sunnah salahs, a lot of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase in sadaqah, and also to try to stay away of everybody who you know is not trying to do right. For those are the ones who are going to cause you to be weak and try to trap you with them. But if you stay away from these, you have the knowledge, and you have friends who try, the past friends, people who try to be, people who are doing right as your friends, to make dua to Allah and to stay away from those places that you know everything's going on in that place is wrong thing, and you try to increase yourself in ta'at, in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will help you to bring your strength back, inshallah ta'ala, the Shaykh mentioned. The last question, then when I let the Shaykh go, inshallah, it's getting late over there, says, how should the Muslim interact in the non-believer, with the non-believer, Christians, Jews, on the workplace or in schools?
يا مسؤال الأخير حفظكم الله يسأل يقول كيف يتعامل المسلم مع غير المسلمين في أماكن العمل والمدارس؟
هذا أيضا هذا السؤال يبدو أن الأسئلة الآن فيها نوع من التوسع، مثل هذا السؤال يحتاج إلى جواب طويل أيضا. التعامل مع غير المسلمين قد جاء بيانه في من حيث العمل وغيره، يتعامل معهم بالتي هي أحسن، لأن المسلم يمثل الإسلام في تعامله، ينبغي أن يكون داعية لهؤلاء للإسلام من حيث صدقه ومن حيث وفائه ومن حيث كذلك التزامه بشعائر الدين. كل هذه تؤثر عليه، فينبغي للمسلم أن يعاملهم بالتي هي أحسن في القدر الذي يعايشهم به. نعم، والجواب طويل، يحتاج إلى جواب تفصيلي، وهذا إجابة هذا السؤال تحتاج إلى تفصيل طويل. نعم.
Now, the Shaykh, Allah Ta'ala, said this also is a type of question that the answer for this is, can have some detail on it to break it down for a person to really be clear on it. But it says, however, the way of dealing with non-Muslims and in any place, you know, is to deal with them in a nice way, in a good manner that has been mentioned in the Quran. You know, to deal with them in a good manner, not in a bad terms with the non-Muslims. And it says a Muslim should present Islam in every place he goes. If you work with non-Muslims, you have to present Islam. If you go to school with non-Muslims, you have to present Islam, because a Muslim's job, he got to present Islam wherever he goes. He says a Muslim has to be truthful with non-Muslims. You don't lie to them. Then everything you do, you got to let them know this is Islam. Be truthful. You don't break the promise with them. You don't do anything that is not Allah, is not permissible in Islam. Not that you're going to do that with Muslims, but because that is, you present Islam with non-Muslims, and everything should be like you present Islam to them. So it says the answer for this is long answer. Inshallah ta'ala, probably maybe in the future, you know, may go into more details, inshallah ta'ala. So we're going to have to stop here. Let the Shaykh get some rest, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. نشكركم يا شيخنا على تفضلكم بهذا الوقت إن شاء الله سنتصل بكم في المستقبل القريب لمحاضرة أخرى إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى.
أنا أشكركم جميعا ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا وإياكم وأن يعيننا على طاعته وأن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن وأن يحفظنا وإياكم ويعصمنا وإياكم من كل سوء وأن يثبتنا وإياكم على الإسلام والسنة وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم. We close out with the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى. As you heard, he made dua for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a theme on this deen and make us be on the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshallah we're going to be in touch with the Shaykh as we have him online every Sunday inshallah.